male, female, and X. Those are the gender choices people born in New York City will have on their birth certificates, marking a new chapter for the city's LGBT rights. Mayor Bill de Blasio signed the provision into law on Tuesday. Starting January 1st, those who want a gender-neutral birth certificate can pay a $50 fee and submit a personal affidavit for the marker change. For many, it's a simple process with big implications.
Here in Turkey, Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi believed he was safe. This is The Commentator heading into the consulate on Tuesday, October 2nd. There isn't security footage of him leaving. Turkish officials believe he was murdered inside. Saudi Arabia strongly rejects the accusation. Turkey says they're also looking for clues via the black Apple Watch Jamal was wearing that day. It was connected to one of the phones he'd left outside. The watch could provide data such as location and heart rate.
Sears is laying the groundwork for a bankruptcy. Sources telling Reuters Wednesday that the struggling U.S. retailer could file as early as Friday. This comes as the company, which has been losing money for years, faces a Monday deadline for a $134 million debt payment.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Thursday. It's October 11th, 5:10 in the morning. Here we are with another business day underway and another edition of The Opening Bell. Thank you for being with us today. We have a great show put together for you. First off this morning, it's Thought Leader Thursday. John Horton is here from Associated Bank. We're going to be talking about mortgage rates, residential sales, home sales, and how that market is doing. We're also going to talk a little bit later on in the program with Seth Borenstein, who's a science writer at the Associated Press, about the latest climate change news. You probably saw the recent report from the United Nations with dire predictions about climate change at the pace it's happening and what the world is doing about it, if anything. Seth will be with us in our second segment this morning at about 5:40. Of course, we have all of this morning's intel from around the world after yesterday's tough day on Wall Street. And why don't we begin there on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Futures pointing toward more losses this morning on Wall Street as the day will begin with the opening bell at 8:30 Chicago time. Dow futures are off almost a full percent, down 237 points this morning. NASDAQ futures are down about three quarters, 49 points. S&P futures off about three quarters, down 21 points. Yesterday, a very volatile day. The Dow ending the day down more than 3%, down 831 points. The NASDAQ was off more than 4%, 315 points. The S&P 500 down nearly 95 points, nearly 3.5%. The worst day on Wall Street, really, since March. Markets around the rest of the globe obviously reacting to the United States. In Asia, the Nikkei off 915 points, down almost 4%. The Hang Seng down almost 3.5%, 926 points. The Shanghai off 142, down more than 5%. And in Europe, markets are lower as well, with the FTSE, the DAX, and the CAC all off by about a percent, a quarter, up to a percent and a half or more. And oil is trading at $72.14 a barrel, which is down about $1.03. Technology and internet stocks led the way for much of Wall Street's bull market run, propelling the stocks like Apple, Amazon, Google's parent company Alphabet, all sharply along the way. Now those high-flying stocks are at the forefront of this wave of selling as investors fret about the possible impact of a recent surge in interest rates. Those jitters gave the tech-heavy NASDAQ composite its biggest loss in more than 2 years yesterday. Technology and internet-based companies known for their high profit margins, many have reported explosive growth in recent years with corresponding gains with their stock prices. That made them particularly vulnerable to something like yesterday, to a rise in interest rates and to a market crash because it makes those stocks already high valuations look even more stretched. We'll see what happens today, but again, markets look like it's going to continue. The markets look like they're going to continue that downward trend, everything in the red this morning. Let's begin with the thought leader conversation this morning. John Horton is here. He's the vice president and senior residential sales manager for the Chicago region at Associated Bank. We'll talk a little bit about mortgage rates and other things this morning. John, good morning. Welcome back to the opening bell.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Good to see you as usual.
Let's talk about mortgages.
Let's do that.
Now with rates going up, what should we be doing if we're thinking about maybe getting a mortgage to buy a house? Anything, any planning we should be doing?
You know, like we've talked about in the past, it's advanced planning. You know, there's a couple of things you can do. Rates, they're saying, are going up. Historically, though, believe it or not, they're below average. 1979 to 1990, they were above 10% for each and every one of those years. They eased down to a range from about 6 to 8% between 92 and 98. So this 5% threshold, and when they talk about rates, people usually, the benchmark is the 30-year fixed on conventional. It's just kind of a tone to set. So approaching 5, most likely will be 5, depending on what the market does. As you know, it's extremely volatile. But 5% is still historically low. Depending on your age, you may have never seen 5%. You may have never seen a pager or a payphone either. Mm-hmm. So it could be, it could kind of get your game moving. But as we've talked about before, I'm a firm believer in the back to the basics, the conversations, the pre-approvals. Don't get caught off guard. When you're looking at a home, you find out it may be more than you need. It may be more than you can afford. So have that conversation with your banker over at Associated. Get all your paperwork lined up and then go out and see your realtor. Make sure, put yourself at ease a little bit.
Yeah, I come from the generation. I remember when I was a kid, my parents, their mortgage was in double digits.
Oh, absolutely.
In the late 1960s and early 1970s.
Yeah, so it's nothing new, but it is if you haven't seen it before.
How is business? I mean, we've heard all kinds of different anecdotal pieces of information about whether or not business is up or steady or lower. What are you seeing?
You know, it's interesting. I always say business is up to the salesperson, similar to a car dealership or anything else that you're selling. It's a commodity. It should be really basic. We have some lenders that are having their best quarter ever. We have other lenders that are really struggling. And what I tell the lenders is it's really time to fine-tune your game. You know, business, the way you approach it, the way you need to work your sales calls and build your centers of influence are a little different. Your phone is not going to be ringing off the hook. This is the time you need to stay involved with your realtors, with your builders, with your attorneys to really let them know that it's not as bad as you hear on the news, and it's definitely doable, and banks are still lending money.
You mentioned the 30-year fixed. If we're going into the mortgage market, getting ready to buy, should we be considering a non-fixed rate, one of these adjustable rate mortgages?
You know, it depends on what your plans are. We do have a lot of clients that come in and say, hey, you know what, Johnny's going to school in 3 years. We're going to move in 5. Let's do a 7-year ARM. Because what that does, Johnny goes off to school in 3, it gives you a cushion of 4 years to really decide what you want to do, not worry about the sale of your property, not be up against the gun in 2 years. So depending on your plans, you do have people that are closer to retirement. You know, I'm going to retire and move to Florida in 5 years. Give me a 7-year ARM. I'm going to move in 3 years. Give me a 5-year ARM. Rates can be drastically different. And again, a lot of people don't understand what the adjustable rate mortgage is. If it's a 5-year ARM, 3-year ARM, 7-year ARM, that rate is not going to move for that time period. Once that's over, it can go up or down, maximum of 2%. So my advice is if you know you're not going to be there in X amount of years, get a couple more years under your belt and do the extended ARM so you're not really pushed to sell or make any rash decisions.
Yeah, because when that's 5 or 7 years is up, it's up.
It's up. And and the way the market has gone, and again, no one can predict where it's going, but for years it was going down. You know, I had a client for years and years, every year he was in a 3-year ARM, started at 5%, obviously, years ago. When it reset, it went to 3. It reset the following year, it went to 2.875. That same guy right now, if he had that issue, his 3.5% would be way above 5. And that might take you out of qualifying for your refinance. Mm-hmm. Because if your rate is that high, obviously your principal and interest are going to adjust. Depending on where you live, your taxes may go up. So there's a lot to factor into, which kind of goes back to let's have a conversation before you do anything.
If my plan is to buy a house this year, and you've mentioned, and we've talked to you on the program about rising interest rates, with that coming, should we maybe consider speeding up our plans? Is that an option? If we let's say had a plan to do this in January, should we be speeding it up now to beat more interest rate hikes?
If you're in a position to do it, I'd advise it. You know, there's a couple ways to get around it. I shouldn't say around it, but I mean, if you have the cash, more cash to put down, a lot of people want to leave it in the banks because as you see mortgage rates going up, your deposit rates are going up. So people are making more on their money market, on their savings account. But to offset that, private mortgage insurance is put on your loan if you put less than 20% down. If you can peel that cash away, put 20% down, you won't have mortgage insurance, so you might be able to afford a little more. There are a lot of grant funds out there. Associated Bank has numerous grant funds. Certain townships and communities have grant funds that unless you ask them, they're not going to tell you. So the money you're putting down plus your grant funds, gifts from parents are another option. Gifts from relatives are another great way to do it if you have a relative that can give you a gift to avoid your mortgage insurance to help you get a better rate. The thing you don't want to rush into if you have a credit issue is rushing into it with a credit issue. You know, credit scores affect your mortgage rate. If you know that you're going to buy a house in April, but you also know that you have a credit score that's not where it needs to be, work on that credit. It's going to lower your rate, give yourself a little bit more buying power.
Let's talk first about asking for help, asking parents or grandparents. What are the rules for gifts now?
The rules are it's a gift. They need to sign a letter saying this is a gift and repayment is not expected. Mm. Obviously, if repayment is expected, it's a loan. We have to work that figure into your debt ratio.
Okay.
They do paper trail it. So if your parents were going to give you $30,000, they're going to want a bank statement showing that there's $30,000 in that account. They want to see the transfer. They want to see the deposit. A lot of people don't want to show their parents' bank statements. Well, then you're not going to get a gift because we need to make sure there's no fraud, that everything is in line. It's going to be underwritten properly, just like we do for everybody else.
People don't want to show their bank statements. Those are kept confidential, though. It's not you can go to the clerk's office and get that, can you? I mean, that's all
no,
private,
No, it's
right?
completely yeah, private. Right. And once it's in, there's no paper documents kept. Everything is scanned. It's not floating around the office.
You mentioned credit score. I know we've talked before, but remind us again how quickly you can fix a bad credit score.
Depending on what the issue is, if it was falsification for reporting, let's say Macy's knocked me 30 days late, but I have proof that I actually paid it. You can then deal with Macy's directly, who deals with TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax, to adjust it, can be adjusted within 30 days. There's also something called a rapid rescore. If you pay off a medical collection, if you show proof that you weren't late, you can go to your lender and see if they will do a rapid rescore, meaning it's scored a little quicker than it would be instead of waiting for the first cycle to go through the next month.
I found a story on Forbes about parents who give their kids the gift of an actual home. Great parents, I think. But the story talked about how actually helping them get a mortgage would be a better gift. Why would that be?
You know, I'm not a big fan of parents giving their children homes because that really puts me out of business. But if you do have a parent like that, we have seen that in it, and it's just called a private mortgage. Everything is recorded. It's on a loan. They can actually put it on their credit bureau. It protects the parents that if the kids stop paying, the home is still in their name. So obviously getting your attorneys and getting everything else involved. Getting them a gift of a home is great. Giving them a gift of a down payment, some people do prefer because the kids really want to have that sense of home ownership. But what you're finding is a lot of these kids, adults, want to live close to their parents. A lot of parents live in neighborhoods that those kids right now cannot afford. So that's the big push. They want the kids close, the grandkids close. Kids can't afford that steep of a mortgage payment, so they work with them. Interest rates entirely up to the parents. So where you're seeing 5% right now, if it's more manageable for the child to pay 3.5%, fit the payment, you're good to go. So it's a little bit easier lending terms.
What kind of credit? How do you collect on that credit if you're the parent? Do you send somebody over to knock on the door?
I'm seeing there's not a lot of credit reports pulled on your kids.
Yeah,
I think that's a big trust.
And foreclosure would happen how?
That would be horrible. If you just go to your room and your mom and dad sleeping in there, you know you're kicked out of the house.
We talked about all the different things you could do. You mentioned the credit score. How big of a problem is mortgage fraud these days?
Oh.
People actually lying on their mortgage applications.
You know, we always like to trust everybody, Steve. It's amazing with that internet that seems to be so popular lately. You can go on the internet now and you can go to a site and they will make your pay stub for you. They will give you a phone number so when the bank calls to verify your employment, it's going to that company. That company will verify your employment, and they just made the bank statement. It's free.
Wow!
And the what they do is they say it's for novelty purposes only. I think that's their way out.
Mm-hmm.
The other way to do it, if you don't have enough trade lines on your credit report, they generally like 4 active trade lines to get a credit score. You can build credit if you show your car payment, a reoccurring bill that you can go ahead and take care of. But what they're doing now is there's websites that will sell you trade lines. They'll sell you trade lines to put on your credit report showing perfect payment.
Wow.
It's going to boost your credit. kind of goes back to the I like to talk to you on the phone, see your face, shake your hand, because banks verify everything. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac require certain things. If you have stellar credit, a good down payment, and everything else is in your corner, they may not want to see a pay stub. They may not want to see a bank statement. So if you're fixing the fraud to make yourself look really good, Fannie will buy that loan, simply meaning we underwrite under Fannie Mae guidelines. Fannie Mae will buy that loan. Mm-hmm. If Fannie Mae does investigation to find out that loan is a fraud, the bank has to buy that loan back. Banks do not want to buy those loans back. So I think it's gone up, I want to say 22% in the last 2 years, just because it's so easy to type in, make me a pay stub or whatever it is. It's unbelievable. Absolutely incredible.
Do you have to play detective, don't you? I mean, are there certain questions that you can ask people when you have that face-to-face meeting to kind of catch them up in this?
You know, there's a lot of, and it, you know, I always tell people it's not your grandmother's mortgage. You know, you walked into the bank, you shook a hand, and there was a check in your savings account to go buy a house 50 years ago. We do tell people when you're coming in now, be ready to provide documentation. And they'll say, I didn't do it 5 years ago. They'll say, I've been a customer of Associated Bank forever. We very much value those relationships, but you're back to fair lending. I need 2 pay stubs. I need 3 months bank statements. I need 2 years tax return. So, you know, the number of cases that are seen, I don't know. I know it's gone up, but underwriters really will underwrite the file with a fine-tooth comb. People need to be ready for it. When we come back and ask you for more documentation, don't complain because it's just going to take you longer to get your loan. We need to treat everyone fairly. We want to make sure you're not a victim of fraud. And really, for Associated Bank, it's making sure the customer's protected.
You were right on the 22% figure. Some of the states with the highest mortgage fraud are New York, New Jersey, Florida, Washington, D.C., New Mexico, California. Not Illinois, though.
You know what always amazes me where they come up with these states, and it's not like they're in one central area. They're kind of dotted all over the country, and I couldn't tell you why, but it's everywhere, but I think the jumps, obviously, in those cases are a little bit more. The other big part of fraud is if you are buying a non-occupant home, if you're going to rent it out, down payment is 25%, your rate's a little higher, industry-wide. People will say they're going to live in the home. Say you're renting an apartment, and they do that so they can flip it. So their down payment's going to be less, as low as 3.5% with FHA, 100% on VA, or whatever you want the down payment to be after that. So they'll say they're going to live there. They'll buy it. They won't move in. They'll flip it for a profit. They'll come back and do it again. So they're renting, so you can't prove that they have another home. So that's another real big issue. They're saving on the down payment, and they're saving on the rate.
Is this a white-collar crime? Is this something that if it happens, like for instance, your places, do you call the state's attorney or the prosecutor, and is this a jail kind of thing?
I would call our legal department and stay out of it, only because when it comes in on the sales end, we'll originate it, we'll have the conversation, we'll put in the loan, we make the relationship. After that, it goes through the processing, underwriting, and closing. Post-closing, we'll probably one that will follow up on it. Fortunately, Associated Bank's credit and issues are minimal, as far as I know. Because if they do start cropping up, we'll definitely get a call. Because it could go back to that referral source. Who's that realtor? Who's that builder? And is that something that's going on? But luckily, I haven't got that phone call.
Is this a case where the person committing the fraud could go to jail?
Oh, absolutely. Oh. Absolutely. I mean, you're fraudulently. And then that's why I don't understand. It's literally, you can go on and they'll send you a pay stub. Somehow, they have to have a hell of a legal team saying, we got you covered. Yeah. But they're saying, we'll make you a pay stub and we'll verify your employment.
Wow.
Yeah.
John, how can people get in touch with you if they want to have this conversation one-on-one?
A couple of different ways. My cell is 630-915-5288, or you can reach me at john.horton, H-O-R-T-O-N, at associatedbank.com.
Good chatting with you. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, man.
John Horton is the Vice President and Senior Residential Sales Manager in the Chicago region for Associated Bank. It's our Thought Leader Conversation. We do it every Thursday here in the Opening Bell. You can find more of our Thought Leader Conversations online at WGNRadio.com on the Opening Bell page and over at Associated Bank as well.
Now, WGN Radio's Daily Conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Thursday edition of the Opening Bell. The United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change has a new report on climate change that says preventing an extra single degree of heat could make a life or death difference over the next 2 decades for people and ecosystems. But time is running out to act, and they're not hopeful the world will rise to the challenge. Seth Borenstein is a science writer for the Associated Press and has been writing extensively about this, not only this week, but along the way as well. And Seth is with us this morning. Seth, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Well, thank you. Good morning, Steve.
Great pleasure to talk with you. I read your work almost every day, and we appreciate you joining us to sort of give us a little bit of more information on this. You know, you read this report and see the coverage of it, and it seems very, very gloomy.
That is a good word for it. Gloomy is that basically the extra base 2 degrees, the UN panel was asked to look at the difference between another 1 degree Fahrenheit of warming and another 2 degrees Fahrenheit of warming. And it turns out it makes a big difference, but part of this is a question of can we even stop another 2 degrees of warming? Because the world is still growing in emissions. We're still polluting more every year than the year before.
Yeah, and the wording, too, of this gloomy might actually be a nice way to describe this. Because they said, I mean, they talked about this being a life and death situation, and with multitudes of people at risk. That seems to be like pretty strong language that should get the world's attention. Since this has come out, has it? Do you feel like there's any reaction to this that says, okay, we need to do something now?
It has gotten attention, but there's a difference between attention and action. People have looked at this report. Even President Trump has been asked about it and says he will look at it. But the world has been talking about climate change for more than 30 years now. And, emissions continue to grow. They don't plateau. They don't drop. They grow.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people have been saying, for at least in this country, we pulled out of the Paris Climate Accord, and there are people in the government who don't even believe that the whole climate change thing. Even the president has said it's a hoax. It seems like that's the first hurdle to get over if something's going to happen positively.
And for a while, it looked like you had the Paris Accord. Actually, the U.S. was a major player in getting it negotiated. But then you had a change in the government. The U.S. is still the only country to announce that it's going to withdraw. But in Brazil, the person who is leading, looks like to be elected, has also talked, looks like he'll be elected, also has been talking about it. It's an ebb and flow. There has been a lot of attention and then a promise of action and then things pull back. This is just not, for many countries and people, this is not the priority. And for those that is a priority, they don't have the political power or the economic power to get things done.
The report says global warming could reach this 1.5 degrees Celsius between 2030 and 2052. So for a lot of us, this is going to happen in our lifetime. Is that what it's going to take to get to this point, to start seeing the financial cost of this grow and the people cost of this grow, for people to finally wake up and do something? But I'm guessing by then it might be too late.
If we're waiting until we hit that point, it is too late to prevent that amount of warming. If we're going to stop this extra 1 degree of warming Fahrenheit, because that 1.5 degrees Celsius mark is 1.5 degrees Celsius from pre-industrial times, and we've already had a degree warming of that. So this 1.5 degree goal they're talking about, we've done one of it. So it's only half a degree Celsius more, which is about 9/10 of a degree Fahrenheit. So if we are to somehow prevent that warming, we have to cut global emissions by half by 2030, and we have to have almost zero emissions annually by 2050. That is one of the few scenarios that this panel said could actually get us to that point, that goal, and limit warming, what they call the 1.5. But that means actually things have to change practically yesterday, definitely tomorrow, And it's unlikely. I mean, the interesting thing here is until Paris Agreement, the world's goal was to prevent 2 degrees of warming from pre-industrial, which would be another degree of Celsius. And most of the scientists at that in the last few years have said, wow, that doesn't look that we can do that. And in the Paris negotiations, the small island nations and nations that are vulnerable said, wait a minute, 2 degrees, some of us will not be around as in the way that is survivable at 2 degrees. We need 1.5 as a goal. So both goals right now, we're not on any trajectory to reach either goal, the close-up goal or the further goal. We're on a trajectory for several degrees of warming by the end of the century, Celsius, several degrees warming Fahrenheit, too. So this is one scientist I talked to said this is sort of like an academic exercise of wondering what a frog would be like if it had wings. Because we are not really on track to prevent any of this.
Yeah, and in your story, you write, too, about what the experts are saying needs to happen here. So many things on different levels, not only with the way we use energy, but just the way our cities are designed, the way our transportation and buildings, all of those things. Give us a sense of how significant all of those things would be to do.
Oh, basically, our daily lives would have to be different. And everything we live in, I mean, right now, one thing, Chicago is, for example, ahead of places, is you have some of the best green roofs in the nation. And people wouldn't be driving gas-guzzling cars. You'd be in some kind of more carbon-neutral situation. You'd have mass transit more. Air travel is a big emitter. You have to change fuels there, and that's not as easy as it might even sound. So it is essentially like the Industrial Revolution, or like the way the United States economy changed once we entered World War II. We are talking that type of level of societal changes at this point to prevent this type of warming. And so far, scientists don't see this starting yet.
I'm a child of Apollo. I remember when I was a young kid, the country came together in a decade to put a man on the moon, and that worked. Is this going to be something like a moonshot that needs to happen, or is it even going to have to be bigger than that?
In some ways, it has to be bigger, because with Apollo, the country, it was a goal for the nation, but the work was done by a few hundred, even actually a few thousand people. And they did the engineering, and they risked their lives. With this, you're going to have that type of technological change, and then you're going to have the rest of us buy into it and change the way we live our daily lives. That's why Apollo 10, 20, 25 years ago, an Apollo type of moonshot type of program might have prevented this, but we didn't do it. So now it has to be a World War II type of thing, you know. And the further you go, the bigger you have to do to prevent this. And it's hard to get even bigger than a societal change in World War II.
Seth, good information. We appreciate you being with us this morning, and we will certainly stay tuned to your writing on the Associated Press for all of this.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Seth Borenstein, science writer for the Associated Press at AP.org.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are off about 1% this morning, heading to the opening bell on the Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P 500. Dow futures down 266 points. Now, agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. It was a tough day. No matter where you looked in the marketplace yesterday, all of my screens, including Wall Street, Board of Trade, and the Mercantile Exchange, totally red. December wheat futures down 4¾ cents yesterday. December corn down 2½ cents. November soybeans down 9¾ cents. In livestock futures, the December lean hog contract down 45 cents for the day. October live cattle down $1 for the day. And October feeder cattle down $1.05 for the day. Tough day in the commodity and stock market. You have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Thursday, October 11th. Labor Department releases the Consumer Price Index for September today. Freddie Mac reports on this week's average mortgage rates. We'll get an initial jobless claims report, the EIA natural gas report, and petroleum status report due out. We'll get a look at the Treasury budget money supply. Day for earnings as well, including Walgreens Boots Alliance, Delta, and it's also the deadline for Sky shareholders to accept that offer by Comcast. So lots of things that could move the markets today on this Thursday, October the 11th.